Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
God really did a work in a house last week, didn't he? Whoa, thank you, Jesus, for casting out oppression. And we talked about that. We're going to talk, and we ended with reset. And today we're going to go a step further. It's called retain. It's one thing to get deliverance, to get healing, to get the blessings of God, but we got to retain some things because don't you know the devil comes back? And we can't play stupid. The devil comes back. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, and I'll give you some scriptures to turn to in a moment, it talks about the Antichrist spirit. And the Apostle Paul said the Antichrist spirit is here among us. Was even there in Paul's day. So the Antichrist spirit is at work. If you don't believe me, just turn on to MSNBC or CNN or any. Just turn on your TV, period. The Antichrist spirit is at work. And the Antichrist spirit will do three things in the last days. And it will speak swelling words against the Most High God, it says in Daniel 7:25. In other words, that devil will lie to you about God. Now, he won't come in your ear and say, God is not real, God can't heal, God can't do this, God can't bless you, God can't do that. He will come with swelling words. He will disfigure the word of God in your ear. And then the next thing that will do will wear out the saints of God. It will put you under an undue stress because your trust in God has been shaken. And then after he speaks swelling words about God into your ear and causes you to be worn out, stressed out, frustrated, all the above, the next thing he will do is come in and change the laws and the customs. Haven't we seen this, especially in the last 4 years? The Antichrist spirit is at work in the earth today. Hear me. He's at work. In other words, the Antichrist just is going to come on the scene at once, and everybody's going to go, what has happened? We're going to be so lulled into this. Not us. We're people of God. But the world will be lulled into this. So we as believers, we have to recognize that it's not the pressures on the job, that it's not family members that are weird. It's not your uncle who thinks he's your aunt. It's not those things. It is a spirit. And that spirit is there to bring you to a place that you're almost ready to give up. Now, people give up sitting in the chairs all the time or the pews in churches. They're there, they're going through the motions, but inside they've given up. And God says it's time to recognize that oppressive spirit. Once you recognize that, you can deal with it. You can't deal with anything that you don't know exists. Now, I talked about reset. I'm not going to recap last week's message, but it would be good to get the CD because it would help you now. Retaining deliverance. Now, understand, there is three things about God we got to be very familiar with. We've got to be familiar with the power of God. Say the power of God. Everybody say the power of God. The power of God. We got to be from. You don't get deliverance without the power of God. You don't get healing without the power of God. We need the power of God. And in order to have the power of God, we have got to have the presence of God. Amen. So we need to be people who know His presence. We walk, we live, we have our being in His presence. We don't do things or have an environment around us willfully that would grieve His presence. Because His presence is so precious. But many Pentecostals, charismatics, not Word of Faith people, but mostly evangelicals that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they will end there. They want the power, they want His presence, but they don't continue to know the person of Jesus. And the mistake of not getting to know the person of Jesus is you can retain and keep your deliverance as long as you feel delivered. As long as you can feel His presence. Are you still with me? But I want to tell you, not every day you're going to tangibly feel His presence. I wish I could tell you, I wake up in the presence of God. I go throughout my day and oh, the glory is just, ooh, nothing like it. Life happens. And when life happens, I don't say, oh, God's left me, because I know the person of Jesus. And so, if you just know the person somewhat and never experience the presence, you'll never know the power. Come on. So it takes all three to retain deliverance. Now, I said all this. Psalm 103 is our first scripture we're going to go to. I love to put a lot of, if you'll notice when I preach, and also Dr. Tim, when he preaches, we give you a lot of the Word. You know why? When you leave church, you need to be filled up with the Word. Amen? You need to feel like I have been fed. And you don't need to be fed what I have to say. You need to be fed what God has to say. There's a difference, right? And so, full of the Word. Psalm 103, verse 7, it speaks about God referring to Moses and the children of Israel. It said, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Now, He made His ways known unto Moses. In other words, Moses knew God. He knew Him. The children of Israel just saw His power displayed, His delivering power displayed. But they didn't maintain nothing. When it was time to go into the promised land, my God, they still thought they were slaves. How pitiful is that? You've been free. You saw the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea, and you're still going around like you're a grasshopper. Why? Because they did not know God. Wow. In fact, they didn't know Him because they were afraid of His presence. They knew His power. Last week we said it's time to reset, and we do it by the power of God. Others can bring you into a place of deliverance, but others cannot keep you in a place of deliverance. Can you say amen? Let me just go on a rabbit trail real quick. Many years ago, there was this man that got saved, and he got delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the whole nine yards. It was wonderful. It was such a miraculous thing. And he was a Vietnam vet, and he had a lot of struggles, and he would call us all the time because the devils were kind of pounced back on him. And so we took and gave him a lot of the Word of God. And finally, one night, he started talking about these demons coming after him. Well, he had a Buddha statue, and he didn't get rid of it because it was so expensive. So he said, you get rid of that Buddha. Don't give it away. Don't sell it. Crush that thing. And then plead the blood of Jesus. Clean your house. You'll be fine. And the neighbors got mad because in the middle of the night, he's got a hammer out there breaking this big old statue. But he got his deliverance. He got set free. He had to do it. He had to do it. Now, this is how we're going to stay free of oppression. Very simple. Establish your thoughts on the attributes of Almighty God. You've got to establish your thoughts. Let this mind, what mind? The same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I could go on another rabbit trail. Can you imagine spending your whole life knowing that you're going to die on a cross and that looming before you your whole life? Every time you see crucifixions going on, can you imagine oppression that would try to attack a mind? But Jesus wasn't going around depressed. Jesus was not going around oppressed. Jesus was not in a ball of knots in his stomach all the time. He says he had joy. He had joy. Why? Because his thoughts were established. And what do we establish them in? Well, today I want to talk about the faithfulness of God, because this is the very foundation. Nothing else matters if you don't know God as a faithful God. Have you noticed how trust has been diminished in our nation? I have never seen an election where people are not voting for a person, they're voting against a person. I've never seen a time where people say, I'm voting for this one, but I don't trust them. I know they lied. I know they're scandals. I know that. I don't care. Because we are so used to trust being diminished in our society. That's why they call it the year of the outsider. Because we don't trust the people we put in office to do their job. How about not only in government, but I don't trust anything I see on TV. I don't trust it. I've read things in a paper before or seen it on TV, and then 2 weeks later, something totally different. Something had to be retracted because people are not trustworthy. In society, marriage infidelity. Used to be, if you heard of this, you thought, oh, now we say, well, it goes on everywhere. How about business? My grandfather, the first time he took out a loan as an elderly man, and he had to sign a bunch of papers, he was offended. Because he knew what it was like to go into a bank and simply shake hands and walk out with it, because a handshake was binding. That was his word. You see, you're only as good as your word anyway, aren't you? Wow. And the first time he took out a loan, and he had to sign about 3 or 4 papers. Now, if you buy a vehicle, it looks like you're signing a book, here's another one, initial here, sign here, initial here. And it takes hours. But back then, I want to buy this pickup. Okay, Clemmy, it's yours. Yeah, I know you're good for your word. You'll pay. Wow. However, God remains faithful. Say it. God remains faithful. Faithful means having faith, remaining true, constant, or loyal. This is Webster. Maintaining sexual loyalty to one spouse. Consistently reliable. A faithful worker. Reliable or truthful. A faithful source, accurate in details, a faithful translation. Wow. And it also talks about Christianity. And then the English dictionary says, steady in allegiance or affection, loyal, faithful friends, reliable, trusted, or believed, faithful assurance of help, adhering or true to fact, a standard or an original. In other words, like an accurate, faithful copy. Strict or thorough in the performance of duty, a faithful worker, full of faith and believing. God is what? Faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read this together. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Who's faithful? He's faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, let's read this. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. Genesis 8:22, I love this. This is a faithful saying. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This is the reason why I don't want my tax dollars going to investigate climate control or global warming. I don't want them spending all this money watching how the temperatures go up and down, up and down. Because God is faithful. He says as long as the earth remains, there is going to be seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Every time a season changes and we're going to go into the fall, just say, Genesis 8:22, God is faithful. How many have been hot this last week? You won't be hot 6 months from now. Why? Because God is faithful. God's faithful. Thank you, Lord. God is faithful to his promises, number one. God told Abraham that his descendants would go into captivity for 400 years. And did you know what? They did. And he says they will come out after 400 years. And do you know what happened in Exodus? They did. They did. 430 years later, they're out with the wealth of Egypt because God said, he's faithful. Isaiah 7:14. Say, my God's faithful. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. How many know that God is faithful? Hundreds of years later, Mary gets a visitation from Gabriel, and this prophecy starts to come to pass. And Joseph did not know what to think about that. That's kind of, you did what? No, what? Now what? And in his sleep, he went into a dream, and the angel, this is how you know to believe an angel. The angel said the word. The angel gave Joseph the word in a dream. And this is what he said in Matthew 1:23. I love it. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all, not some, not a few, not just one that we like or one that we hope works for us. It says, all of the promises of God in him, who's him, Jesus, yea, and in him they are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Whoa, God keeps his words. Jesus. God's faithful to his word, but God is also faithful to preserve you. Psalm 127, verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God will preserve you. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace. I love that. What's he the God of? Peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Wholeness, health, deliverance, salvation. The God of all of that sanctify you, set you apart. Holy, and I pray, your whole spirit, your whole soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, and your body will be preserved blameless. Wow. We're struggling to live here when God has us already seated with him in heavenly places, preserving us, spirit, soul, and body. And he's going to preserve us, how? Blameless, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word preserve means he will guard and protect you. And does he? How? The angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. You know, after my concussion back in the fall, and I wasn't able to preach or read or drive, I felt, and my memory got kind of wacky a little bit for a while there. And you know, the enemy would come in, and he would say, you're really not going to heal. You're never going to be normal again. And, you know, he's a liar, because I would put something down and a minute later couldn't figure out where I put it. Little things like that. I almost drove my husband nuts a few times, I think, because he was all the time looking for things for me. It was a hard time. And the enemy would try to whisper in your ear and say, ah, and I got a hold of this word. No, my God said he's going to preserve me. He's going to preserve me. He's going to preserve me. He's faithful to his word. He will not fail me. My God will not lie to me. No, God can be trusted. He's going to preserve me blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, verse 15 and 16. It says, he shall, or she, Sharon shall, and put your name there, call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with her and him in trouble. I will deliver them, and I will honor them with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to preserve us. And in closing, God is faithful to confirm us. What? He confirms us? Yeah. Confirm. To support or establish the certainty or validity of, or to verify. Mark 16:20. That tells me when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be preaching and prophesying, casting out devils, giving words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Are you with me? Getting people healed. Why? Because I'm preserved and I'm confirmed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're preserved and God confirms you because he's faithful to his word. Yeah, boy. And if I get anything like my Aunt Louise, that ought to be very entertaining. She says when you get 70, something happens. Well, I have a ways to go, long ways to go. Mark 16:20. And they went forth. God's confirming them now. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Boy, you ever felt like you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing to help you get a job done? You know, if you can't decorate well, you think of who can really decorate. And boy, you just feel comfortable. Or if you're working on a vehicle and you don't know anything about what you're doing and there's somebody, a mechanic comes alongside of you, oh, you're at ease right then. Well, you don't have to worry about praying for the sick and say, oh, what if they don't get healed? Think about what happens when they do. Because you're not doing it by yourself. He's working with you. He's working with you. And they went forth and preached everywhere. I love that. The Lord working with them and confirming the word that they declared with signs following. We retain our deliverance from oppression, as I said, by the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. I want us to confess this as we go right now. Confess with me. God can be trusted. Let's say it after me. God can be trusted. He keeps his word to me. He will manifest his glory, his gifts of the Spirit, his fruit of the Spirit in my life. Here's my motto. All nine are mine. All nine are mine. Say, nine are mine. All nine are mine. Woo, Jesus. Lord gave me a word. I love it when he gives me a word. And next year, and of course, I'm sure my husband will teach the meaning of all of this. This is not what the Lord gave me, but when I was looking at 5777, the Hebrew calendar, that's next year. We're in 5776 this year. On my car tag, it's 5777. And so I was just looking at that, thinking about the next year. Five is the number of grace. Seven is the number of completion. And I looked, and God said, I want to complete three things in that year that you've been trusting me for. I'm going to complete it. Whew. He's faithful. There's some things you've been trusting God for. He's faithful. There's a grace for every struggle. There's a grace for every problem. There's a grace for every mountain to be removed. There's a grace for every sickness and disease. There's a grace for every dispute that anyone would have with you over anything concerning truth. There is a grace as an overcomer. You have not been brought into the kingdom to lose. You have not been brought into the kingdom to quit, to submit to the voice of the enemy. You have not been brought into the kingdom to go to a place of retreat. But it's time we step it up. It's time. When the enemy comes against you, instead of doing this, when the enemy comes against you, you need to get this way. One sister said, if you talk ugly to the devil, he'd leave you alone. Five, seven, seven, seven. Maybe you need spirit, soul, and body. I don't know. But God's going to put it today. God's going to speak. I believe three things he wants to complete in your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you right now. You are faithful. You watch over your word. You perform your word. You never fail. You never let your hold on us we've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And this is evil times. This is evil. This is an evil hour in which we live. There's powers, that are out to destroy this nation, that's out to destroy our families, our homes, that would want more to destroy church as we know it. But we do not take nothing lying down. For the kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. We're not waiting for somebody to do our job for us. We're stepping up and we're going to put on the armor of God. And we're going to march into battle with a two-edged sword and the word of God upon our lips. We will not retreat. Whether it's a sickness in the body, whether it's a financial struggle, whether it's problems in the home, problems on the job, we will not retreat. We will not retreat. We stand our ground. Thank you for the blood. Right now, I just want to pray a prayer over everyone right now. I just feel it in my spirit. Right now, just stand to your feet if you want to receive it. I want you just to lift your hearts to the Lord. We got, you receive what I'm praying today. I thank you in the blood name of Jesus that every assignment of hell against your life has been broken today in Jesus' name. Every assignment of oppression, it goes in Jesus' name. Of infirmity to the body, it goes in Jesus' name. In your children, it goes right now. In your grandchildren, we bind it and cast it out in Jesus' name. We speak to our bank accounts and say, you quit lying to us. We are the blessed of the Lord. We can't go under for going over. We declare right now we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. What we put our hands to, it prospers. I speak over your mind that you have a power and love and a sound mind. I thank you that you make right decisions, that you hear from God, that you do not step out of the will of God, but you are led by the Spirit. You are His, and we declare it over you this day. I just speak from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made well in Jesus' name. I speak to marriages, to bond even closer. We declare that Father's house will be a house of love, even in their own homes and in their families and in their marriages. We declare it, decree it today in Jesus' name. Everybody that's looking for a job or another job, I just want you to raise your hand up right now. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for favor, the favor of God. The favor of God. And open doors. In Jesus' name. Now we thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."